Greetings in Christ's name to each one this morning. We count it a privilege and a blessing to be here with you this morning. I've been so richly blessed this morning as we were here thus far. I think our focus was very much turned towards Jesus Christ. I appreciate the songs that were chosen this morning. And as you sang the songs, the spirit in the singing. Just so thankful this morning that Jesus Christ is here. And as we were singing the song, Be Silent, there's a verse that came to my mind in Psalm 46, verse 10. It says, Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And I trust that's each one of our desire this morning, that our Lord Jesus Christ would be exalted today and each day of our life. For a message this morning, I have chosen to speak about Jesus Christ. There are services like this that we had this morning that I'm just awed at how Jesus Christ works. He never fails us. He continues to show us what he wants for us. And that is Jesus Christ in our hearts. I have titled the message, Knowing Jesus Christ. There was a question came to me, and I'd like to give it to each one of you this morning. Do you, or do I, know Jesus Christ? Probably this morning we could ask the question, well, why do we ask that question in this setting? We at Slainsville Congregation did not have communion yet. We're planning having revivals the third week in November, and then Sundays we're planning on having communion. And I don't know if it has to do with age. I consider myself pretty young yet, I think. But as I think of communion and what Christ has done for me, and what he's done for you, he did it through love for mankind, and that we can have peace and we can have victory in Jesus Christ. I'm going to be looking at a lot of scripture this morning. I trust you can follow along and to see what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for you and I, and what it cost him for our victory and our peace. There's a writing that I picked up. It's entitled, Jesus Nailed to the Cross. The manner of nailing the criminal or the victim to the cross was simple. The cross was laid upon the ground, and the one to be crucified was stretched upon it and spiked there. The hole for the cross was previously dug. Then the cross was carried to the hole and dropped into it. This, of course, drew every nerve and muscle into tension and produced the greatest imaginable suffering. A teacher of a class of working girls showed them a steel engraving of a famous picture of the crucifixion. Three crosses were upon the ground. Soldiers were struggling with the two thieves and forcing them down upon the crosses, while others drove the spikes. Upon the middle cross, Christ lay quietly and extended the quivering palms to receive the spikes. As the young woman looked at the picture, one cried, Oh, was Christ nailed there alive? I thought he was dead. before he was nailed there. The teacher replied, yes. He was nailed there alive for you. The girl, weeping, said, then I am his forever. I trust that's our heart's desire this morning. That we don't hold anything back, but that we give our all to Christ. Then the words of a songwriter, very familiar song. Jesus paid it all. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spot and melt the heart of stone. For nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. And when before thy throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Stand with me for prayer at this time. Father, in thy presence we bow this morning. We call upon thee as our Father in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for your great love to us. Lord, we accept that love personally. We thank you, Lord, that you've died for me and you've died for each one here. Even while we were yet sinners, you died for us. Lord, we commit this message into your hands. Might you use it for your glory and your honor, and that you would be seen. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. I'd just like to emphasize this morning that you and I together this morning could see what Christ has done for us because of love. I ask you the question this morning again. Do you know Jesus Christ? Is he your friend? Or is he much more than your friend? Can you go to Jesus Christ with everything? Is there a part in your heart that you hold back for you? As I was studying this morning, I had to think. You know, if we keep anything to ourselves and not to Christ, I'm convinced this morning that I don't fully love Christ if I don't give him my all. Now let's read Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he hath grown up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we shall desire him, that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected, of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering of sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant justifieth many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the grief, and with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 9. I'd like to read verses 1 through verse 18. In my Bible, it gives the headings here, the Old and the New Covenants contrasted. Okay, Hebrews chapter 9, reading verses 1 through verse 18. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made with the first, wherein was a candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censers and the ark of the covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was a golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But in the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them upon the time of reformation. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That's all the further I chose to read. Can we grasp this morning what Christ has done for us? The great, great love that he has for you and I yet today. As we picture Christ on the cross, giving himself so willingly to you and I. I believe this morning that Jesus Christ is just simply asking us to come and follow him. Does that sound hard? Does that sound difficult? He doesn't force himself on us. He's just saying, come unto me. Can we do that? Matthew 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The word ransom means something paid or demanded for the freedom of a captive. To free from captivity or punishment by paying a price. I'd like to read that verse in the Amplified. Just as the Son of Man came not to be waited on, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The price paid to set you and I free. Did it cost you anything? It cost him his life. I don't know how you personally find it for yourself. When I think of Christ, the Son of Man came not to be waited on, but to serve. How much more should we serve him? I personally, this morning, wasn't really going to share this, but you know, sometimes I guess I'm just going to be honest. Well, I shouldn't say I'm going to be. We should always be honest. Sometimes it seems we just give and give and give. Maybe even sometimes feel like we have no time to ourselves. Can we outgive God? I just want to be more willing to freely give as he has given and continues to give. That we can experience peace and happiness. I appreciated what Brother Paul shared this morning with the thought of thinking about Christ coming again. We look at the world situation. Recently, Elmer Glick was telling me he does some substitute school bus driving, and he was sharing with one of the other school bus drivers. They were conversing back and forth, and we're talking about where we find the world situation. And the man was, I guess, sort of excited or disturbed and worried and concerned and scared, and I don't know what else you could add there. And then he asked Elmer, he said, Elmer, doesn't it scare you? Elmer said, no, it doesn't. You know, I think at a time like that, we just need to look up and say, even so, Lord Jesus, come. Can you imagine the peace that we can have today because of Jesus Christ? After all, didn't Jesus Christ say, or we read that it's not always going to be easy. But you know, I believe even in that, I think of an ocean where there's waves just splashing and dashing and just rumbling around, and there's a big solid rock standing firm. I believe in Jesus Christ this morning. That's a picture of us in Christ. We do not need to fear. But in this, we can have peace. But I also believe it's very important that we pray daily for the peace of Christ in our life. As we continue on the thought of what Christ Jesus has done for us, and about knowing Jesus as our personal Savior, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I'd like to read verses 3 through verse 14. Noticing verse 7, I'd like to read that before we read verses 3 through verse 14. In whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. I'd like to read that in the Amplified. In him we have redemption, deliverance, and salvation, through his blood, the remission, forgiveness of our offenses, shortcomings, and trespasses, in accordance with the riches and the generosity of his gracious favor. Now reading Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through verse 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children of Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believe, ye are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Just the blessing that we can experience and we can enjoy in Christ Jesus, who forgave us. How much more should we live a life of forgiveness and peace and love? Sometimes, and I had to think of that as Brother was sharing about the man that's going to be here tomorrow evening. You know, we just look around us at the awesome creation of Jesus Christ. How he made this world so beautiful. And yet, you know, I sometimes wonder, had the privilege of going to the Creation Museum. And they have an area there, part there where they show you the stars. And it's amazing. But you know, I think there's so much more out there that we can't even see. But you know, as we look at that, as we focus and we think about that, it just draws ourselves to Almighty God. The awesomeness of his creation. And he simply wants us to come to him. Ephesians 2 verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Again in the Amplified. Ephesians 2 verse 8. For it is by grace, free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but is the gift of God. Such a precious gift. As I think of a gift, particularly in children, as you give them a gift for a birthday or for Christmas or whatever, you know, at first, you wonder if they're ever going to share any part of it with anybody. But you know, this gift of salvation, of redemption, is a free gift. But is it of any worth, any value, if we keep it to ourselves? It's made to share. And I believe as we experience and share this gift, it just continues to grow. For our glory, for the glory of Jesus Christ himself. And I believe this morning, if I truly have a deep love for Christ, I won't even want to begin to keep that gift to myself. We want to share it because of what Christ does for us. And as we experience his love, his forgiveness, and his grace every day of our life. Now, if you would turn to Colossians chapter 1, I'd like to read verses 12 through verse 14. Colossians 1, reading from verse 12 through verse 14. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I'm just so blessed this morning that Jesus Christ has forgiven me. And I believe we do well to focus more on Christ's forgiveness to us than on maybe our past life. I don't know many of you here this morning what you're struggling with. But maybe there's something in the past that you have a hard time forgetting. Let's focus on God's forgiveness. He has forgiven us. He has set us free. When he died for us, quietly, peacefully laying on the cross, his outstretched arm for our forgiveness. Christ's blood reminds Christians of the enormous price and sacrifice paid to secure our redemption. Redemption then is achieved by the atonement wrought by Jesus Christ. Has he done anything for you? Are you doing anything for him? Do you find it difficult to fully give yourself to him? Don't hardly know how to close here this morning, but I feel led to read Romans chapter 6. If you would turn your Bibles there. Maybe many of you could quote this by memory. As I was reading over this morning again, you know, I believe if I truly am convinced that Christ has forgiven me and that I focus on his love for sinners, that I have no desire to have any part of sin in my life. You know, I believe our enemy, Satan himself, is out to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ came that we might live and we have peace. Let's read Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members to servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through who? Jesus Christ our Lord. What a mighty God we serve. You know, as we maybe sometimes struggle with unforgiveness, or maybe just not being content, do we find joy in that? But you know, as we yield our bodies to righteousness, to serving Christ and others, because we love Jesus Christ, it brings peace and happiness and contentment. And through that, others can see Jesus Christ. Let's kneel before his holy name in prayer. Eternal Father in heaven, we pause again to thank you this morning for your great love to us. Lord, we thank you for the price that was paid for our redemption. Lord, help us never to forget the love that you have for all mankind. For everyone in the whole world. Lord, we pray your blessing upon this congregation here and in the congregations where you have placed each one of us here this morning. Help us, Lord, to renew our love for you and to continue faithfully serving you because of what you've done for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.